So instinctive birth basically just means that all mammals are born with the instinct to grow and birth a baby without much need for interference. So when we look at the wild mammals, they don't go to a separate sterile place with professional other mammals to pull their babies out of them. They just kind of hunker down somewhere dark and quiet to birth their babies. And they also don't attend classes to learn how to birth their babies. They just, their bodies know how to do it.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kuhn. Welcome to the Juno Women Podcast, where I sit down for candid conversations with women who are experts in their field and share their specific knowledge so that we can become better equipped to handle all things motherhood. Juno Women is an extension of Juna, a fitness and nutrition app created to help guide you through your trying to conceive, pregnancy, and motherhood journey. Everything we do at Juna is designed to empower and support you through one of the most incredible and challenging times of your life. Today, I'm talking to Nicole Cash, founder of Mind Body Baby and hypnobirthing expert. We talk about what exactly hypnobirthing is, why you might be interested in trying it, how to get your partner involved, and how to get yourself in the right mindset for a birth that works for your whole family. I hope you enjoy this podcast. Nicole, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to dive into some hypnobirthing stuff with you.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you start by introducing yourself and giving us like a little background on you and your like area of expertise?
So my name is Nicole Cash, and I have been a hypnobirthing instructor and a birth doula since 2014. I'm also a fertility doula. So I do some of that work on the side. And I'm also just generally super passionate about all things like having babies, making babies, postpartum, parenting, all that good stuff. I went to college and got degrees in sociology and child development. So I think it was always destined for me to get into this kind of work. And it was actually after the birth of my first son that I used the hypnobirthing method with, and our experience was so positive that I couldn't stop thinking about it and talking about it. So I started getting into teaching and attending births. And yeah, so that's what I do.
How did you find hypnobirthing for your first birth?
I'm not 100% sure. All I know is that we had Kaiser at the time. And so I was birthing at a Kaiser hospital. And we took all the classes that Kaiser offered, including their prepared childbirth class, and it was terrifying. I hated the class so much. There was only like a couple of things I liked, but everything else about it was super like scary and negative. And I realized like I needed something else. I don't know if I had heard of hypnobirthing before I ended up going to a bookstore and just perusing the pregnancy birth section at a Barnes and Noble. And I came across the hypnobirthing book and just started like paging through the book. And suddenly I was hooked. It like spoke to me instantly. It was like empowering and intuitive. And it was definitely the thing I had always been looking for. So I actually didn't even have a chance to take a hypnobirthing class because I was already too late in my pregnancy. But I got that book. I read it cover to cover multiple times. I hired a doula who was also a hypnobirthing instructor. So she got to do some of the stuff with us. And yeah, rest is history.
Got it. And how many kids do you have?
I have two boys and they are now 8 and 6.
Oh, God, you're in the sweet spot of parenting.
Is it?
That's what I've heard. Oh. I'm not there yet. So I think it's like everyone looks on – because the way I look at – my son is – my oldest is 5 and a half, and he's like just hitting this like age where it's like really starting to get fun, and he's interesting, and he's like the emotional outbursts are fewer and far between.
Yeah.
And I'm like really looking forward to having an 8, 6, and a 4-year-old, but I'm not there yet.
It is pretty sweet. I have to say every era of parenting has its own like challenges and joys, obviously. But it is feeling pretty sweet these days because I'm finally like completely out of that like early parenting fog.
Where it's just so physically demanding of you. I'm still deep in it.
Yeah.
So So I have like friends that have 8 and 6 year olds, and I'm just like, I look at them and I'm like, God, they like do fun things on the weekends.
Yeah. And both my boys are now in school together. So we have just one drop off, one pickup. It's all just like the same. Although I will say now with my 8 year old, though, we're heading into like the tween era, like years. And that's making me a little nervous.
I feel you. Okay. Back to hypnobirthing. Okay. So for people that are listening that have no idea what it is, can you just give us a little overview of what it is and then what it is not?
Yes. So hypnobirthing is a comprehensive childbirth education series that's focused on instinctive birth. So instinctive birth basically just means that all mammals are born with the instinct to grow and birth a baby without much need for interference. So when we look at the wild mammals, they don't go to a separate sterile place with professional other mammals to pull their babies out of them. They just kind of hunker down somewhere dark and quiet to birth their babies. And they also don't attend classes to learn how to birth their babies. Their bodies know how to do it. And human beings are almost exactly the same. The only difference is we have a really developed neocortex that sort of gets in the way of the birthing instinct that everybody has. And so we actually develop a fear or a doubt of our ability to give birth over the course of a lifetime. And that can inhibit the process of birth. Of course, there's all sorts of other things that can naturally occur, even in the mammalian world where birth doesn't go as it's designed, but it's usually the exception. With hypnobirthing, the goal is to try to undo some of that negative conditioning to prepare for a birth experience that's going to be more calm, comfortable, less traumatic. And me as an educator, what's really one of my goals is not so much for any of my students to have one type of birth or one specific type of experience, but I really want them to have a more positive experience and experience less trauma, because birth trauma is incredibly common, or it's becoming more and more common. And I just feel for the babies entering into the world that way. So the way we do this, the word hypnobirthing comes from a combination of the word hypnosis with birthing. And sometimes people have a side eye with this. It sounds like a lot of hippy-dippy woo nonsense. But really, hypnosis is a state of consciousness that everybody naturally goes in and out of daily. It's kind of the path to sleep and wakefulness in between waking and sleeping state. And so what we can do with hypnosis, it's really simple. It's all self-hypnosis. It's essentially going through a series of techniques, including breathing, visualization, and then some specific deepening techniques, just to allow the part of our thinking brain to be quiet enough so our instinctive birthing brain can take over. And that way that everything runs as it should for the most part. And a really positive side effect is it's usually more comfortable. So people who use hypnobirthing report having lower amounts of pain, needing less pain medication, lower rates of cesarean, all sorts of good stuff. Yeah, my class, some classes are 5 weeks, my class is 6 weeks, and we go over all the what I call yummy stuff about hypnobirthing, breathing, visualization, relaxation, hypnosis, and then also mindset work, preparing for a positive experience with affirmations, language, things like that. And then there's a lot of practical things included in the course too, like how the body works, how the uterus functions, like creating birth plans, labor positions, ways partners can get involved and support the process. I'm also a really big advocate for evidence-based practices and evidence-based maternity care and advocating for yourself and informed choice and refusal. So we go into a lot of that too, like how to choose a care provider that's the right fit for you and how to navigate decision making, because that can be really stressful during pregnancy and labor when things come up and we're not quite sure, what do we do? What's the right choice? So just to make sure that people feel confident going into their births, knowing that they can tackle kind of any situation that comes up.
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you about the Juna app, the app that makes this podcast possible. Juna is the premier app for every stage of motherhood, with a 12-week trying-to-conceive plan and workouts, key nutrition information for every week of pregnancy and postpartum, plus 6 full video courses on birth prep, breastfeeding, newborn care, infant sleep, sleep from 4 to 12 months, and starting solids. The app is designed to be your number one companion from trying to conceive through your baby's first year of life. It also includes daily diaphragmatic breathing exercises, pelvic floor prep, daily tips, and notes from me that are relevant to the exact things you are experiencing. These are so helpful for easing any fears and preventing the dreaded gestational Google mania, that sickness where you can't stop Googling every little thing that happens during pregnancy. Juna is available for both iOS and Android. Just search Juna in the App Store or go to juna.co. Again, that's juna.co. The app is completely free to try for 7 days, and if you decide it's not right for you, you can cancel anytime within the first week. No questions asked. Download Juna today and get started. Now, back to the show. Yeah, no, I love that. I will add, I'm sure, for some of the listeners, I had a, you don't know me, but people that have been listening to me, to this podcast for a long time, I had a 2 hospital births and then a home birth. Mm. And I, for my first birth, did absolutely no education. Like, I was just like, I'm in my provider's hand. I don't know anything about this. I'm just going to get the epidural when I get to the hospital and blah, blah. Like, that was that. And like, that worked out for me. It was fine. With the second baby, I was like, I should be a little more informed. And that was when I actually ended up getting the hypnobirthing book. I still had no intention of not having an epidural, but I was just like, if my water broke with my first baby before like labor even started. So I just went to the hospital, got an epidural, and it was fine.
Yeah.
But I was like, that the likelihood of that happening again is not, I got lucky. Like, what if I have to labor at home and go through contractions at home? Like, I should have some ability. I wanted to go a little bit deeper. I don't want to digress. I think it's interesting. So one of my good friends had recommended getting the hypnobirthing book just for like a tool. But I had another friend that had done a Bradley method course. I had other friends just do like, and so I'm curious, can you kind of just talk a little bit about the differences and like why hypnobirthing really spoke to you?
One of the biggest differences about hypnobirthing compared to pretty much every other birthing class I've ever come across is this idea that birth is not designed to be severely painful. And that's usually the first conversation that comes up when we start talking about labor, is that yes, it's supposed to hurt. It's going to hurt. There's not much you can do about it aside from getting an epidural. And that's just how it is, like all of everything we've ever read and talked about. And there's a lot of really good solid research that shows that the actual design of the human body, of a uterus, and how it works during labor, it doesn't make sense for it to be severely painful. So one of the people that really influenced hypnobirthing was a doctor in London in the 20s and 30s named Dr. Grantley Dick Reed. He wrote a book called Childbirth Without Fear, and he discovered, and this was like before anybody knew about hormones, really. But he, through his work and his observations, came up with a concept called the fear, tension, pain cycle. And he discovered that the more afraid people were going into labor, the more tension they experienced in their bodies, and the more their levels of pain increased. And then, of course, it just continues. Once you're in a lot of pain, you're terrified and you're like, this sucks. I don't want to do this anymore. And it just continues. Yeah, I think it's really interesting, this concept of that we have influence over how much pain we do experience during labor. And even though like completely painless births are the exception, I do see through my own students that even though if they had discomfort or even had pain, they were able to manage it really well. Like, it didn't become something they were afraid of or overwhelmed by, and it was still a positive experience overall. So I don't know. I just think that's a really interesting concept and one of the biggest differences.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned it a little bit earlier too, and I wanted to ask you about it then, but I didn't want to interrupt you. But like when we talk about conditioning, like that our brains, like one of the things is like we have brains and like we start thinking about childbirth and the fear of it hurting, like kind of starts at a very early mm-hmm. age. Like I remember having the conversation with my mom and I asked her, and I must have been like 6 or 7, like how much did it hurt when you gave birth to me? And I remember my mom being like, it was a good pain. And my mom did not have epidurals. But I just always remember her being like, it wasn't like, she's like, it was a totally different type of pain. And she was like trying to explain it to me. And literally 2 days ago, my son, who's 5 and a half, comes into the bathroom while I'm showering my 1 and a half year old. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Mommy, I want to say I'm sorry for being so big in your belly and then hurting you when I came out. We've never even talked. It was just like out of nowhere. And I was like, sweetie, you didn't hurt me. And I'm like, of all kids, I like had an epidural. I felt nothing. Don't you worry. But it was interesting that like he's 5 and in his mind, he's like talking, he like recognizes that he was in my belly and that he had to come out and how could that possibly not hurt? And I think, yes, that is something we as women think about. And then you get pregnant. And I remember not being afraid of giving birth because mm-hmm. I was just like, you have to give birth.
Baby's yeah.
gonna come out. Like they can't stay in there forever. But that was my perspective. But I could see how, and I being in this business, we see so many women who are just absolutely terrified of it. And I think that there's a lot of work to be done to kind of recondition people around childbirth. And so I love that is the hypnobirthing like methodology that it doesn't need yeah. to be painful. And also when I think about, so my home birth, I went a little bit deeper. I didn't take a class. I didn't like the hypnobirthing course or any mm-hmm. other course. I just went and read a lot of books and was like fully prepared. I was also like a yogi. And so I'm like very in tune with my breath and using my breath to relax my body, which I felt like that was why hypnobirthing was a good fit for me. Yeah. And my third, like when I look back at my third birth compared to my second one, I'm like, that was like painful is not how I would describe it. It was just like a calm, serene, relaxing experience. Although if you listen to my podcast that told my birth story, chaos was going on in my brain. But like looking back at it, I'm like, and it was that. But anyway, okay. So what are some of the cornerstones of hypnobirthing? If someone listening like right now is considering it, like what are like the like some practices that you teach in your course?
So there's 6 main components to the course. You've heard me say most of them already. The number one is education. And like I said, I'm really big on making sure that people understand what they're getting into from the perspective of being in our modern maternity care system. Because as much as our bodies are designed to give birth, we're not currently living or birthing within a world that supports that physiology. And so as much as I can teach people to breathe, if you're wanting an unmedicated vaginal birth, but you're under the care of a high-risk obstetrician who has a 75% C-section rate, the odds of that happening to you are mm-hmm. like, you're probably not going to, I don't know, it'll be harder to achieve your goal. That's always like number one is making sure that you understand all your options, how to advocate for what you want, and feeling confident about that part of it. And then the next one is breathing. So I feel like too, when I look at other childbirth programs, there's not a lot of focus on breathing. And when I say breathing, I'm talking like as a yogi, deep diaphragmatic belly breathing, because the way we breathe normally when we're not thinking too much about it is really shallow chest breathing. And then the way we breathe when we're stressed out is rapid chest breathing, which is like rescue breathing. And all that does is signal to our bodies that we need to
fight or flight.
Yeah, fight or flight. We need to run away from danger, which means that hormonally we're producing adrenaline. And adrenaline is the antithesis to the hormone oxytocin, which is what we need to have a comfortable, efficient labor process. So it all starts with the breathing. If you do slow, deep belly breathing through your nose, ideally, it signals to your body to be calm and that everything is fine. And then all the yummy hormones can work and your labor will be shorter and more comfortable. There's breathing. And then visualization we use in 2 different ways. So visualization is really powerful as a means to achieve a goal. So if we think about the way professional athletes prepare for big games and things like that, they're never thinking about all the shots they're going to miss or how they're going to lose or the ways they're not going to perform. But when it comes to giving birth, we often have a lot of this mindset of like, what if something happens? What if it goes wrong? What if blah, blah, blah? We always focus just on the negative, which there's nothing wrong with thinking through all these potential outcomes. But if we're only focusing on that, it doesn't help us prepare to meet our goals. And then also as a tool for relaxation. So there's a lot of visualizations that we use to get into a relaxed state, which again, puts us in that happy hormonal state for everything to run smoothly. And then we also go through, positive affirmations. So similar to that goal setting, we need to do something to help recondition our minds to have a positive outcome. So we practice listening to affirmations, writing affirmations, and it just helps us to feel good about the thing that we're going to be experiencing. And then relaxation techniques. So we have rapid relaxation techniques to drop into that state really quickly, which is super helpful if you only have 2 or 3 minutes between contractions, or as we call them, surges, and you need a way to rest really completely in between so you can have the energy to keep going. And then from there, we have deepening and hypnosis techniques. And hypnosis is really cool, not only for the really yummy relaxation that we get to experience, but the reason why its use in pregnancy for birth is critical is because we've had, 20 something years to believe that birth is scary and super painful and dangerous and all these things. And hypnosis works as kind of like a shortcut to undo that programming because you only have a few months to really do that work. And so hypnotherapy works the same way. It's just like a shorter way to change the programming in our subconscious mind, which helps us achieve our goals and have a more positive experience.
No, that makes sense. I guess if you were to give us like, what is one positive affirmation that you teach in your...
I trust my intuition. My baby and my body know how to be born.
when you're in the moment, like just saying that over and over to yourself is helpful.
Yeah. Or even I like really simple affirmations too. Just like, I'm strong. I can do this. Because sometimes it's just like the little pep talk that you need if you're having doubt or anxiety or fear. I remember I had a home birth for my second. And so I had affirmations like posted up all over my bedroom. And I remember I'd be like in my zone, my eyes closed. And then I would look up and I would just lock eyes with one of the posters. And it would be like something super positive. And I would be like, yes, I can do this. Like, that's right.
So good to get into affirmation early, because like here, yes, I am with a 5'3" and 1-year-old. And when my 3-year-old is in the middle of a tantrum, I'm literally there in my head being like, it is her displeasure is okay. You need to stay calm. You need to stay calm. You need to regulate. All day long. And I wish I had started much earlier, because it's like a new practice for me now.
Yeah. I honestly still use all of my hypnobirthing knowledge every single day as a parent. I teach these things to my kids. Like, we do affirmations every morning before school, and I've taught them the breathing. There's a breathing technique we also use in place of the hard coached hold your breath pushing, which can be sometimes really awful. I used our birth breathing technique to teach my kids how to poop effectively. So,
okay, can you share it with us?
Are you potty training?
I will be in a few months. But is it like the exhale through? Yeah, talk us through it.
So it's essentially a deep breath in through the nose and a downward energetic breath through the body and out the hole that you're aiming for. So if it's a baby, it's a vagina. If it's poop, it's your butt. And yeah, it's just you keep your pelvic floor relaxed, but you're just sending the downward energy of that breath through your body, and it helps to just like nudge and push the things downward without being like super hard and tense.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad you also brought up the coached breathing, because like with my first two babies that were in the hospital, I yeah, and just listen to whatever my provider said. They were like, hold your breath, rates. Yeah. And that was fine. But when I was preparing for my third birth, I was also seeing a pelvic floor PT throughout the pregnancy. And she was giving me some coach, like, she's like, you should really practice when you're pooping.
Yep.
But like, you want to make sure that you're exhaling, you're not holding your breath. And, and I was like, and I was riddled with hemorrhoids and all that. And I was like, oh, this is a real, I see why. Okay. And still to this day, now whenever I go to the bathroom, I will like do that like big exhale, and I'm like, it's a totally different experience.
Yeah. And it's really cool because with this type of breathing, it's not that you can't hold your breath. If you want to, that's fine. It's just it's the opposite of this idea that we have to hold our breath and push super, super hard. And it's also really nice too because you can continually give your baby oxygen throughout the process, and that's much better for them as well. But even for pooping, it's amazing.
Yes, exactly. No, you quickly slipped it in, but I thought this was one of the interesting things that I got from the book. But instead of talking about the contractions as contractions, they're like you talk about them as surges or waves, and that's all related to the language that we use that kind of conditions our brains around pain versus normal. Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, everybody – so language is really interesting with how it affects our physiology. And this is the thing I love about hypnobirthing too. Again, people think it's like this weird hippie nonsense. But actually most of it, if not all of it, is based in biology and neuroscience. Everybody reacts to language immediately with some sort of thought or emotion. You don't know that you're doing it. It's a subconscious process. And immediately after you have that thought or emotion, there's a chemical change in your body. So your body reacts to whatever the thought is with whatever it thinks that you need to do next. So if we hear negative language, we might have a belief or a thought like, oh, that's bad or that's scary. And then your endocrine system, your hormones in your body will start creating more like catecholamines or adrenaline to prepare for the bad, scary thing that has come up in your brain. And then your behavior literally changes after that too, because once you start to feel that adrenaline rush, then you might make different choices with your behavior than you would have if you had the opposite response. So we just try to be mindful of the language that we're using and being aware of any potential negative associations we have with certain words. And usually when I ask people, okay, when you think of the word contraction, what's the first thing you think of? And almost everybody says pain. And if we are going to anticipate pain, we're going to spend a lot of our time feeling stressed. And also, I think people aren't super aware of the fact that the baby downloads pretty much everything that the pregnant person experiences. So if you're spending your pregnancy stressed out and worried, then you're kind of bathing your baby in stress hormones, which changes the development of their brains. So it's like, it's this whole thing. It sounds really simple. Like, we're just going to use pretty language. It's like, well, no, the reason why we're doing it is for all these things that benefit your baby. So yeah, instead of saying contraction, we could use a word like surge. The other reason I like to swap the word out is because for people who have having their first babies who don't know much about anything, like that was totally me. When you know you're going to have a series of contractions, you're not really sure like what that means. Mm-hmm. And I've had people come through my class, and no like shade to them at all, who think that when you start labor, you're having one continuous contraction that's painful the whole time. And I think that just is partially because the word contraction isn't very descriptive. But if I said surges or waves, we have an idea about a surge comes and goes, a wave rises up and falls away. And so it's a little bit more of a descriptive, like a logical, more descriptive word.
Are you a breastfeeding mom needing to boost her milk supply, or a nursing mom wanting to maintain good milk supply during your pregnancy? Well, we are excited to introduce you to GoLacta. an all-natural galactagogue and superfood. Many moms and health professionals around the world are calling the miracle supplement. 100% made from nature's own galactagogue, their pure moringa leaves are farmed by Golacta out in the Philippines. Vitamin C, calcium, potassium, and protein. Moringa leaves pull double duty. They're both plant-based superfood and a galactagogue. So both moms and babies will reap the nutritional benefits of the moringa leaves. Added to being an amazing superfood, Golacta is the ideal supplement for nursing moms and is not only clinically proven safe to use while pregnant, but because of its superfood qualities, it also provides moms and babies the key nutrients they need for healthy living and growth. I wish I knew about this during my breastfeeding journeys, but I'm just glad I get to share this with you today. You can buy yours today from the Golacta website, www.golacta.com. Available in easy-to-use capsules or in a powder, so you can incorporate it into some of our amazing smoothie recipes in the app. Use code capital GL-JUNA21 for 15% off your first order. Once again, you can order today on their website and use the code GL-JUNA21 for 15% off your order.
Totally. That's actually a really good point. I think about you have no idea and you're just like, oh, just get contractions. I also remember being like, I think I'm in labor. And now when we get the question, I'm not sure if I'm in labor. And I'm like, here's the thing. When you're in labor, you will know. Yeah. If you are still asking the question, am I in labor? Then you're just probably not in labor.
Or at least I like to say that we fade into labor. So we actually do start labor pretty early into the end of our pregnancy. But if you're questioning it, there's nothing you need to do about it.
Exactly. Yeah. This isn't an actionable thing. Yeah. It's not time to go to the hospital. And like then having had more experiences, I remember with my second baby, I was like, oh, something's definitely happening, but this is not labor. Yeah. This is not me like being like, we got the hospital bag ready and here we go. And it's a funny thing.
Yeah.
Okay. My last question for you. Oh, actually, no, I have two more. One of them is relatively quick, but I'm curious how many people who are taking a hypnobirthing course are taking it because they just want the education or they're committed to having an unmedicated vaginal birth? Do people that are just like, I'm going to get an epidural, but I want the tools?
I would say the people who are like, oh, I for sure want an epidural, but I want the tools are definitely rare. But I have had them come through. And this is another thing I love about hypnobirthing is it's for every type of birth because, first of all, we just never know how things are going to unfold or what our mm-hmm. baby may need. So it's really important to be open to any experience and being able to have a positive experience for your baby regardless. But yeah, so I would say most people who – like the average student that signs up with me is somebody who wants an unmedicated vaginal birth but is birthing in a hospital. And they have an idea that's a little bit more challenging. And of course, not everybody – has that experience. I don't guarantee outcomes for anybody, but I think it's really valuable for people who do have unmedicated births, obviously, but also for people who maybe don't plan on getting an epidural but have one anyway. I think that like what you said about your second birth, knowing you were probably going to get an epidural but just still wanting like some extra tools is really critical because I have heard stories so many times of people who their only plan was to get the epidural and then it just happened that they couldn't get it in time or it didn't work properly or whatever the case may be. So an epidural is a fine like plan B, but a plan A should include some of these other techniques so that you can stay calm and relaxed kind of no matter what comes up.
Yeah, you had mentioned birth trauma earlier, and I think it's interesting because my second baby, it was a very traumatic thing for me. Mm. And only because, again, like I waited too – I was like, not to get into details, but I was just like, I just waited too long on the epidural side. And so when she came too fast and I had gotten the epidural, but like I got the epidural placed, I don't know, 20 minutes before she was out. And so I felt everything and like just – and I wasn't prepared for that. And I think that was all the difference to me was that if I had prepared to go through that experience. There would have been nothing traumatic about it because I just, it's like, okay, this was nothing out of what I had expected. And, but there was something about it being, it just being so fast and so not what I was prepared for that, like, it was for 3 days. I was like, my husband was like, oh my God, if I have to hear you tell this story one more time. And it was just the way I was processing it. I'm like, okay, I get it. I get that this is really annoying. I just wasn't expecting that. I think that the amount of times that came out of my mouth. And so I think the preparation part is like the most important part to avoid things are unavoidable, but to avoid this specific type of trauma, then like, be prepared. Just like be prepared for all of the eventualities.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, my last question is, with partners, are they open to hypnobirthing? Are they just like, I'm along for the ride? Are they? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's definitely a wide variety of partners. And, but it's great. I love working with the partners. And even the most skeptical ones will still come. But after our first session, the most skeptical ones are often like, oh my God, I love this class. I had no idea about all this stuff. This is amazing. And if anything, they're the ones that are then like, we should have a home birth, or you can totally do this, babe. Your body was designed for it. And it's really sweet to witness that transformation, because I think especially for men, this isn't something they ever think about consciously because it's not something
they have to do.
It's not something that their body, like maybe
their bodies are not doing it. Yeah.
One day I'll have a person that I'm going to have a baby with and they'll have to do that and whatever, but it's not their bodies. So they don't think about it the way I think women do, but they're still absorbing all the subconscious cultural messages about what birth looks like and what it is. So to have them get this information and this realization that it's not quite that way is pretty interesting. And yeah, I would say the vast majority of partners are super on board. They love it. There's a lot of, even just the practice that students do is really like loving and connecting and bonding. So it's even just great for a relationship in general, just to even do the home practice together. So I think they love that too. It's like really mindful, conscious time together before baby arrives. And so partners always love that.
Yeah. Have experienced three different, very different births. My husband, like, who was not a proponent of a home birth at all, looks back at all three experiences and he's just like played an active role in our home birth. Mm-hmm. And it was just the most beautiful thing. And like, I wish I could have five more births, but no more babies.
Me too.
I'm very done, but I do love. People think that's crazy.
No, I know.
It was that amazing.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. And I'm like, I'm the crazy woman. I always say I could give birth every weekend if I could repeat my home birth experience. It was magical.
So magical. I feel like more of those stories too need to get out. Because if you're a great candidate, it was so beautiful and just the most incredible experience. And I wish I could do it over. Now it feels like my son is 20 months old and I'm it feels so long ago.
I know.
But anyway, that is all my questions for you. Is there anything that I've missed or that is worth noting?
I guess the one thing I'll say, I don't think we've touched on, I did say hypnobirthing is for every birth, and that's why I really love it. And I even wrote a blog post about how you can't fail with hypnobirthing. So some of the criticisms I hear about hypnobirthing is that it's leads to disappointment because you have people thinking they're going to have this one specific outcome. But at least the way I teach the program, I really focus on making sure that people aren't rigidly adhered to some specific outcome. Because I find that when people are like, I'm 100% going to have a painless, unmedicated vaginal birth. It's like, why are you so rigid on having that one experience when you don't know what your baby may need in the end? So staying flexible is super important. And that's why there really isn't any way to fail at this program. It's kind of like a buffet the way I teach it. Is there something for everyone? So I would say if anybody has heard of hypnobirthing and thinks like it's probably not for them, I would say it really is for everyone, because some people go all in and they do all the hypnosis work and they're really serious about it and they do all of that. But some people just like having the information and the breathing and the audio tracks to listen to every night to help them sleep better. So it's a really customizable program. And I don't think I've ever had somebody come through my classes, and I've taught over 440 families. So I don't think I've had anybody come back and say, oh, this was all just a waste of time and I didn't get a single thing out of it. Even my couples who have like cesareans after laboring for 2 days were like, you know what? It was great because it was hard, but we were well prepared. We felt confident. We knew how to talk to our providers. We were able to stay calm even though it was scary. Even during the C-section, I was using my breathing and felt positive about the whole thing. Yeah, that's just what I try to tell people, because people are like, oh, it's only for the weird hippies having home births. It's like, no. Totally. It's for them too. I'm a weird hippie that had a home birth and it was great. We welcome everybody.
Also, like, I know that you didn't mean this, but I also just don't think I remember what I thought about home births when I was having my first baby. And I, to your point, thought that it was weird hippies. Only weird hippies had home births. And I'm not a weird hippie. And I had a home birth. Like, and I'm like, I think that we need to get away from that thought process, because it's like, it's just not that. And I wish that I could have documented the evolution of my belief system on that, because it was just so interesting how it transformed over a 3-year period and 3 babies, to the point where, like, my third baby, I'm like, this is what I want to do. And then after having it, I was like, everyone should do this. This was incredible. But I also recognized that, like, I had a hard time getting pregnant. I had two very serious, highly medical things happened to me. So I was just like, I wanted to be in a hospital. I wanted it to be safe. And like, you couldn't have talked me into a home birth with my first baby. Like, I had some of that trauma going into the second baby, but like, just think. So I get how it's, but also our system has cut itself so that like home births are looked at as weird hippie things. But
exactly. And 100 years ago, everybody was giving birth at home. So giving birth in a hospital really isn't
the last 50 years, right? Like,
yeah, all of us came from somebody who had an unassisted home birth at some point. So it's in our roots.
It sure is. By the way, is your course in person, or do you have it? Do you offer it also digitally?
Thanks to the pandemic, I now do offer classes virtual. They're live. Still do it over Zoom, but that means that anybody anywhere can take my class. I am starting to do in-person classes in South Orange County as well. But yeah, so I now have a really good virtual presence, which is cool.
Yeah. Why don't you tell people where they can find you then, if we've piqued their interest?
My website is mindbodybabyoc.com. So the OC stands for Orange County. And I'm also pretty active on Instagram as well. And same thing, Mind Body Baby OC. I'm on Facebook too, but Facebook sucks.
I'm like, I'm not even on it anymore.
I don't do anything with it, but I'm there. Yep. You can find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your thoughts on hypnobirthing. This was fantastic.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, that's all for today. If you liked today's episode, please share it with a mama friend and leave us a review. If you're pregnant, postpartum, or trying to conceive, you can download the Juna app completely free for 7 days. The app is available for iOS and Android and is designed to be your guide for all things health and fitness for this very special time of your life. If you have any suggestions for episodes you would like to hear, or anyone you think would be a great guest on the show, please email me directly at sarah@juna.co. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.